Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another Ars Blog Arscast. Coming up on this show, a blog chat with Gilberto Silver from gunnerblog.com. We've got a tale of the unexpected, a player history, we find out who won the shirt, and more. So stay tuned. Welcome to another action-packed Arscast. It's Friday morning. Hope we find you in good spirits. And if it's not Friday morning when you're listening to this, just pretend it is. That way it doesn't sound out of date. Get me? All right. As I said, coming up, we'll be talking to Gilberto Silver from Gunnerblog about the week's goings-on. Obviously, that includes Gilberto's departure, Kleb's departure, maybe some possible arrivals. Who knows what we'll be chatting about. There is a tale of the unexpected and a player history from the man in the bar. And our competition from last week to win a home shirt. I'm very sorry to have to tell you this. I might as well get this out of the way straight away. Despite all your entries, there is no home shirt to give away. I'll explain a bit more a little bit later on. So, since the last Arscast, what has been happening? Well, the main thing, well, apart from the things we're going to talk about in the future, but the main thing is that we signed someone. Last Friday morning, it was announced on Arsenal.com that Samir Nasri was now an Arsenal player. Hurrah! At last! I wasn't worried. Were you worried? I know some people were a little bit worried that it hadn't been announced, but it was all down to Marseille wanting to balance the books or whatever it was that they wanted to do. But it was all signed, sealed and delivered well before that. So he becomes an Arsenal player. We still don't know what shirt he's going to wear, do we? Have we got a clue? I should check that. Right, I just went and checked and yeah, he's going to wear number 8. Which seems like a perfectly acceptable number for Samir Nasri to wear. Still some spare numbers going. Number 13, anyone want 13? A number of great pedigree and history at Arsenal football. No, nobody wants 13, do they? I don't think so. So that's that. So Nasri's in. Kleb and Gilberto out. Gilberto will come to in a little while. Kleb gone to Barcelona. We got £12 million. I think that's very good business by us. We get a player that really wasn't interested in playing for Arsenal anymore. I think his comments at the start of the summer, both his and through his agent, made that very clear. He got to Barcelona. The first thing he did was say, I love this club, and then get photographed kissing the badge of Barcelona. Come on, man. Seriously. And I'm sure you've all seen the pictures by now of Thierry Henry at the press conference where they unveiled Kleb. And the look on his face was quite priceless. It was sort of like, oh, not this cunt again. So Arsene Wenger said of Kleb, he said, we're comfortable with our decision to let him go, and we're all looking forward to continuing our preparations for the new season ahead. Very rare that Arsene says something like that, and it's very much, well, we wash our hands of you. He did frustrate fans, though, over the course of his Arsenal career. We expected more from him. I don't think we were wrong to expect more from somebody with that kind of technical ability. So to try and discover the reasons why Kleb had this problem, why he just couldn't shoot, I'm joined by clinical psychologist Dr. Ernest Vanderbilt Reimenheimen. Doctor, welcome to the Arscast.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
So Dr. Vanderbilt Reimenheimen, Alexander Kleb, as we all know, is a very talented footballer, very gifted, technically excellent, close control, dribbling skills, but he couldn't produce the goals that Arsenal fans wanted in his 3 years at the club. And it was a source of immense frustration. It didn't match up with his technical ability. We've asked you to look into Alexander Kleb and to come up with some sort of theory behind it. What have you found?
It's a very interesting question, and one that doesn't have a very easy answer, like yes or no or yellow. I think what we have here is a man suffering from a trauma. Probably in his childhood that manifests itself in his adult life whenever he is presented with a chance in front of the goal. I've studied the evidence, that you said true to me, and I have reached a hypothesis. And my theory on this is, of course, that Alexander Slim, when he was a child, had an incident with Spider-Man. This Spider-Man. If we look at the net on the football pitch, it's quite obvious that it looks like a web, a spider's web, the kind of web that Spider-Man would have created with his spidey powers. And now, further research on Wikipedia led me to the fact that Alexander Slim is afraid of clowns. And my hypothesis, my theory on all this, is that when Alexander Slim was a young boy, running around Minsk like a little scamp, Spider-Man arrived in the town and, in the style of John Wayne Gacy, dressed up as a clown, then captured Alexander Slim in his net, in his web. So every time, now as an adult, Alexander Slim sees the football net, it reminds him of the web that the clown Spider-Man captured him in and probably raped him.
Well, I have to say that sounds fairly reasonable to me. Dr. Ernest Vanderbilt Reimenheimen, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
So, a fascinating insight into the world of Alexander Kleb, and should the good doctor's hypothesis be true, it begs the question, why would Spider-Man, who's already wearing a costume, why would he dress up as a clown? I just can't think of any good reason, really. Okay, well, moving on, it's time to have a chat about the rest of the week's news with Gilberto Silver from gunnerblog.com. Hello there.
Hello.
How has your summer been?
It's been very good, very good. On the Arsenal front, it's been kind of detached, more so than usual. I found it pretty exhausting, all these transfer rumours, and they've dragged on so much, some of the stories, that I've sort of ceased to be emotionally involved in them.
One of the long-running stories, obviously, was Alexander Kleb, and he's gone to Barcelona, he's kissed the badge, we got £12 million. What do you think? Are you happy?
Well, like Arsene Wenger, I am comfortable with our decision to let him go. I thought that was a really funny thing to say. Very unlike Arsene, in fact, to be quite so cutting in his goodbye to a player. But I couldn't really care less, to be honest.
Well, that's fair enough then. Fair enough.
I just think, when I think of Kleb, I try and think of some sort of significant memory or some sort of impact he made on the club in 3 years. And I don't really think there is any.
Do you know what my abiding memory of Kleb is? It's the Champions League final.
Right.
I expected him to be taken off when Lehmann was sent off.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at him on the pitch and going, oh, he's, that's bad luck. But it wasn't him, it was Pires. And that's sort of my abiding memory of Kleb, really.
Yeah, the injustice.
Yeah.
I guess I will always remember just my general frustration with Kleb. It's not a specific thing, but the overriding feeling that one has when thinking about him is of a player who just fell short at so many opportunities. I mean, so close to being a really genuinely great player, but just missing something psychologically in his makeup that just will prevent him ever really being a great star. And I don't know who Barcelona think they've bought, but it's not the fabled white Ronaldinho.
No, I mean, certainly technically, I mean, he's brilliant, really, really good. So, I mean, the problem with him is definitely in his head, or his attitude, or his confidence, or lack of confidence, whatever. But anyway, he's gone, and we've got £12 million, and Samir Nasri, who has a better goal-scoring record than Kleb, and I think will probably play in the same sort of position.
Well, I think that Nasri, he's younger, has a slightly better goal-scoring record, certainly seems to have more about him, more confidence in an attacking sense, and a greater willingness to shoot from range. I think that he's a perfect replacement in Arsene's mind, and that's why Arsene isn't too fussed to see Kleb go for almost identical money. I think that, if anything, we might have a player who can improve the side. I don't think it would have been a bad thing to keep Kleb as a squad player, but he wanted to go, so be it.
Okay, another one who who wanted to go was Adebayor, and he's looks unlikely that he's going to get a move to AC Milan, as they've just bought Ronaldinho. What happens at Barcelona? I suppose all depends on what happens with Eto and the whole lot. But again, given how many players Barcelona have bought already this summer, you might think that their business is more or less closed. What's it going to be like for him if he has to stay at Arsenal? It's going to be a bit uncomfortable, surely.
I think it's going to be tough for him because if we can assume that the club, Arsenal, were willing to negotiate over a sale with the likes of Milan, albeit at Adebayor's request, that shows that there has obviously been a major breakdown between the club and the player, the manager and the player, and that in the heads of all parties, him leaving has been a genuine possibility. Now, for that to be the case, there must have been contingency plans, other players looked at, and if it all falls through and he ends up staying, it's going to be very tough for him, especially, you know, he's a player who always had a great relationship with the fans, and that's been completely vanquished this summer. And I think rebuilding that kind of trust, that kind of confidence, is going to be pretty tough. I don't think, you know, people compare it to Anelka, and I don't think it's quite on the same scale. I don't think it's like had Anelka stayed. I mean, I don't think Anelka could have stayed. I think there is a way back for Adebayor, but it is a very, very long way back.
It's going to take hard work because even on the back of a 30-goal season, there are pockets of fans who weren't convinced by him at all. So, yeah, it's going to be difficult. Let's talk about somebody, obviously, that has a little bit of a connection with you, Gilberto Silva.
Indeed.
The connection is, of course, you stole his name and bastardized it. That's pretty much as far as it goes. But he's going to go to Panathinaikos, and I don't know, what can you say about Gilberto? A proper professional, and I think we got 5 really good years out of him.
Yeah, quality player. And I have to say, I was starting to think he might start the season as first choice in the side. I was thinking, you know, he came in at the very back end of last season when Flamini was injured, and impressed me a lot. You know, he hadn't played well all year, but when he gets a little run in the side, he's tended to do well. Obviously, he's only got a year left on his contract, and he's getting a 3-year deal from Panathinaikos with decent money. He'd be the highest paid player in Greece, apparently. So you can see the incentives for him to go out there, the security, Champions League football, regular football. But I thought he might be in a shot of replacing Flamini, but evidently not. Evidently, Arsene has another idea. I can't see it being someone who's already in the squad. I think there must be something else on the horizon, but I think we have to all wish Gilberto the best. He's been a fantastic servant, and it's hard to think that just a year ago he was expected to be named captain of the club.
That's a very good point as well, and considering how disappointing that must have been for a man to lose his place, you know, the way he conducted himself last season was a real credit to him, and I think it's probably something that a lot of the younger pros could learn from.
It is, and I think if you look at it, I mean, we talked about the club and the other bios, but in contrast, Gilberto is an absolute, he is a beacon of model professionalism, really, in a league where that kind of thing is, those kinds of qualities are quite absent in the foreign, particularly in the foreign players.
Like you say, Gilberto's departure really does leave a big hole in the squad in central midfield, and we do have options, but I don't think there's anybody outstanding to slot in alongside Cesc. So you've got probably a situation where we're going to look at buying somebody. Two names that have cropped up in the last week or so are Gareth Barry and Xabi Alonso. So there could be a little bit of, I don't know, incestuous stuff going on here with Liverpool wanting to buy Barry but needing to sell Alonso in order to fund that deal. Either of those, would they tickle your fancy at all?
Well, they're both very good players. They both are sort of in the 26, 27 age bracket, sort of in the peaks of their careers. They wouldn't require a huge transitional period because they've got Premier League experience. They're both wonderful. You know, they can pass the ball very well, particularly Alonso. Barry scores his fair share of goals, though most are penalties. But I have some concerns about them. I'm just not sure they have the kind of... The key thing about Flamini that improved our side was the the stamina and the harrying and the hassling energy, that kind of tigerish work rate. And I haven't seen Barry and Xabi Alonso, I think, operate at a slower pace. They're very intelligent with their positioning on the pitch. But I wonder if we need someone with just a bit more up and at him, a bit more spark, you know, a more traditional ball winner alongside Cesc.
Are there any names?
No. That's I'm thinking some sort of, you know, Frenchman of African descent who I've never heard of would fit the bill. But I don't know if that's what we'll get or not. The other thing about those two is that they're pretty expensive, especially Barry.
Yeah.
And Villa doing a deal with us, maybe at a lower price than they would with Liverpool, because I know they're pretty irked about the way Liverpool have gone about it. And I could see something, you know, 12, 13 million quid plus Justin Hoyt or something like that, maybe getting Barry away from Benitez's clutches. But I still think I'd be surprised to see Wenger spend more than £10 million on a player. I mean, Juventus had just bought Christian Poulsen from Sevilla for £8 million, and that was a good buy. I was quite surprised if we were in the market that maybe we weren't sniffing around that one. I think that kind of price range is more what Wenger's going to be looking at. But, you know, I remain open to be surprised.
Well, there's still 6 weeks to go until the close of the transfer window.
Hell of a long time.
Exactly. And seeing as we tend to do most of our business on the 31st of August, there's plenty of time to not get stressed between now and then.
It's amazing, though, that...
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
It's a brand new year, and what better time to get going with that online store you've been thinking of? Those "I was there when Arsenal actually scored a goal" t-shirts would fly off the shelves right now. And to get yourself up and running, you need Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way through to the did we hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort with thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 a month trial period at shopify.com/arseblog, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/arseblog now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/arseblog.
You know, central midfield was the one area of the squad you would have thought was absolutely jam-packed. Do you know what I mean? Like, at the start of last year, you had Fabregas, Danielson, Diaby, Gilberto, Flamini, Diarra, and those last three, who were all sort of traditionally sort of holding midfield players, have all left in the space of 12 months. It's remarkable, and I wonder how much that is down to the fact that we'd collected all these midfield players and there just weren't enough places in the team for them all. And, you know, as a result, we've lost... I mean, there are other factors, but we've lost them. And you almost feel like we should have made an investment in one and sort of stuck with it, because any one of those three probably could have done the job had we been like, right, you're the first choice, we're going to give you a big contract from day one and stuck with it. As it is, we need something new. But I'm sure Wenger will pull something out of the bag.
Too many cooks have spoiled the broth, it seems. All right.
Midfield broth.
Yes. Thanks very much, Gilberto Silva from GunnerBlog.com.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
So, Gilberto Silva, not Silver, we'll talk about in a few minutes' time, and some more details about the shirt competition. I'll tell you what's happening there and why it happened and how it happened, etc., etc. So stay tuned for that. Now, though, player history with the man in the bar? Yes.
It was a terribly emotional moment for me, I have to say, because the doctor came over and put his hand on my shoulder. And he took a deep breath and he said, "He's gone." And at first I really couldn't believe it, you know. It's just such an overwhelming sensation. And I said, "Are you sure?" And he said, "Absolutely. I'm a doctor." I was just on the internet and I saw the pictures of Alexander Klebb in Barcelona. He's gone! "Oh, happy day," says I. "Thanks very much, doctor. I'll come back in to get that cream for me old, you know, what's it, that me gooch. You know, it's an awful place to get a rash. But anyway, that's the main thing, is that Alexander Klebb is gone, and this week we can do our player history all about Eddie McGoldrick. No, Alexander Klebb, that's what it is. Now, Alexander Klebb was born in Belarusia, but it wasn't Belarusia then, it was just the Soviet Union, you see. And not many people know this, but his father was entirely responsible for the Chernobyl nuclear disaster. They were sitting there and someone said, "Oh, sweet holy Jesus," or whatever sort of god they pray to in Russia. I think his name is Rasputin or something like that. So they're going, "Oh, sweet holy Rasputin, we're on the verge of a nuclear meltdown. Only one man can save us. It's old Arthur Klebb over there. And all he needs to do is to push that button. Go on, push the button there, Arthur. Push it. Go on." But he couldn't. He worked himself into a great position to push the button, but he couldn't do it. And then sure, the rest is history. You know, there's mutants and fallout and all kinds of things. So anyway, Alexander Klebb joined Arsenal in 2005 from Stuttgart. And the first time I saw him, I said, "Jesus, there's a tricksy little bastard. Look at the skills he's got. This fella could turn out to be very good for us." And while there's no doubting his ability on the ball, his dragbacks and shimmies and shakes and dropping the shoulder and the whole lot, it's very difficult to say that he was an unqualified success for us. Or even a qualified success. Or even a part-time success, for that matter. He scored 10 goals in 3 seasons. And for a guy playing either as a support striker or as a winger, that was, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Shite. So it was. So I certainly won't miss him. And I won't miss his face. And those strange ones he pulls when he's playing football. Sort of like the face you might have if someone told you to go and lick the shite off a leper's arsehole. Nowadays, Alexander Klebb is in Barcelona. He's probably going around the place trying to forget that Thierry Henry hates him. It's true.
So while not too many people will miss Alexander Klebb, I think Gilberto Silva will be a different matter altogether. He joined in 2002, not long after Arsblog started. He wasn't the first Arsblog signing, so to speak. That was Pascal Sigan. But Gilberto joined in 2002 after the World Cup, scored on his debut in the Community Shield, scored the fastest ever Champions League goal. He's played 244 games for Arsenal since he joined in 2002. Let's remember as well that he spent a lot of time out injured one season, not last season before last, season before the season before last, or whatever, a little while ago, with a very serious back injury. He was in a back brace, and there were very genuine concerns about his career at that time. The season that Henry left, he took over as captain on the pitch. He led by example. He scored more goals that season than I think he's ever scored in any season. And last summer, I think, was obviously a big disappointment to him. With Henry having left, I think most people, including myself, thought that he would be made captain. Instead, Arsene, in his wisdom, and I have to say it's still one of the strangest decisions he's ever made, is to make William Gallas captain. Gilberto was away for some international duty, Copa America, I think it was. And when he came back, he found his place in the team had been taken by Matthew Flamini, who kept his place in the side on merit. His performances last season were very good. Gilberto obviously wasn't happy, not only at not being a captain, but losing his place in the team after being so vital the season before. He didn't sulk. He just kept working hard in training, took his chances when they came. Got into the side towards the end of the season, scored a goal against Reading, but it was fairly obvious that Arsene Wenger wasn't counting on him for the season ahead. He's going to go to Greece, he's got a 3-year contract out there, he's going to be well paid, and I think he deserves a good send-off from Arsenal fans. I think it was quite telling, the difference between the goodbye or the news on Arsenal.com about the Hleb departure, where we said Arsene Wenger said we're very comfortable about Hleb's departure. When we're talking about Gilberto, they mentioned the huge contribution he made to the club both on and off the pitch. He was a model professional. I really hope that a number of our younger players learned from him instead of learning from some other characters in the squad whose example is nowhere near as good as his. I hope he has a fine time in Greece. I hope he enjoys the weather. I hope he enjoys his football. And well done to him, and thanks very much for everything since he joined the club in 2002. So good luck to Gilberto. So as we spoke about with Gilberto Silva a few minutes ago, his departure does leave a bit of a hole in the midfield, with no Flamini, with no Diarra, with no Gilberto. There's no obvious defensive midfielder. Now, I don't think Arsene Wenger would have let Gilberto go unless he had something else lined up. I think he's probably decided who it is he wants. I think he knows that he can probably get them. Because he spoke about the squad lacking experience, and I don't think he would have let Gilberto go if he didn't have somebody else lined up. So I think we're going to get a signing in central midfield. Who it might be is a good question. Whether it might be Xabi Alonso, Gareth Barry, a name we've not heard of, somebody we have heard of but we haven't been linked with. I don't know who it's going to be, but I would put money on us signing a central midfielder, which is good because we need one. And we need an experienced central midfielder. We need a quality player with experience. Somebody that isn't going to take 6 months to adapt. So I think the signing will come from England. So I think it's going to be interesting, particularly as we've got Barnett on Saturday. There'll be questions asked of Arsene Wenger, I'm sure. It's traditional, isn't it? You get these little snippets of information from pre-season where he'll say, oh yeah, I'm looking at somebody. But he's got to be looking at a central midfield player, and I'm looking forward to see who that might be. Barnett on Saturday, our first pre-season friendly. Saturday, that's tomorrow. How awesome is that? Some football again. Aaron Ramsey is in the squad, as is Carlos Vela. So that's going to be cool to see those two guys involved, and just good to have some football back. Apparently it's on Arsenal TV, but seeing as NTL are a shower of cunts over here, we don't have Arsenal TV. Even though I've subscribed to the Setanta Sports Pack, I don't have Arsenal TV on my NTL. So NTL, come on, sort it out, bastards. No doubt there'll be some highlights floating around on the web afterwards, so I'll just have to make do with those. Still to come, the shirt thing. I'll explain all after a tale of the unexpected.
Welcome to Tales of the Unexpected on the Ozblog Ozcast.
Hello, my name is George. And I've got another tale of the unexpected for you. This week, I really didn't do very much at all. I didn't much feel like going around a place and borrowing things that people don't want me to borrow. It's a bit of a pain sometimes. So I stayed in, you know, with the sister wife and the kids and all. A bit of old quiet family time, you know. Then the daughter came in and she says, Daddy, one of the goats is after having a baby goat, and it's all mutant and disgusting. And I says to her, that's because the two goats are from the same family, and when they have babies together, they come out all wrong. They're an abomination of God's holy law. Now run along outside and play, and tuck that tail back into your dress. Anyway, I was sitting there watching bare-knuckle fighting videos when there was a knock on the door. And I went out, and it was the TV license inspector. "Hello," he says. "I'm the TV license inspector." So I says, "I suppose you're here to inspect me TV license. Is that it?" And he said, "You're right." So I says, "You better come in. I just have it here in the drawer." So I stood there for a while I rummaged around in the drawer. Except I didn't have a TV license in there. I had a cutlass and I sliced him up good. That was unexpected. To him.
So another tale of the unexpected on next week's Arsecast. The football is back tomorrow. I can't believe it. It's making me feel all warm and tingly inside. My heart is all good and gooey, and although that could be just the rum that I'm drinking at the moment. But, you know, even though I won't see the game tomorrow, just knowing it's on makes me feel better. We're nearly there. New season. Come on. I love the start of the season. It's brilliant. So much hope and expectation. And I think we're going to win the league next year. Definitely. You heard it here first. You heard it here first. Now, last week we ran a competition to give away a brand new home shirt, courtesy of Nike. Nike contacted me, you know, via a third party, the middleman, you know, the guy in the middle, the one who does all the wheeling, dealing and all that sort of stuff, and said, "We're very sorry, we won't be giving you a home shirt after all." Okay, then. That's what I thought. Well, fine. Instead, they're giving us the brand new away shirt to give away. It'll be a little bit delayed in getting out to the winner, but I think it's even better than the home shirt. It's brilliant. I mean, in fairness, last year, white kit. Pfft. This year, like an Anfield 89 sort of replica, homage, is that the word we're looking for? Whatever it is, it looks fucking smart. And I'm definitely going to get one myself. So the winner of the competition is going to get the brand new away shirt. Possibly before anyone else. I think it's out on August the 1st or something. So it should be with the winner before then or on that date, more or less. The question was, who wore number 14 before Thierry Henry? The answer was, of course, Martin Keown. So well done to everybody who got the answer right. Thank you for all your emails. The random number generator is going to do its thing. And the winner is Brian Dawes. Well done to you, Brian. I'll be in touch to get your details and all that kind of stuff. And we got that shirt sent out to you. Thank you very much to Nike for providing the prize. And I'm sure we'll have more competitions to come very soon on Arseblog and on the Arsecast as well. Don't forget, the London Masters is on this weekend. You know, the six-a-side tournament thing. It's on at Wembley Arena. Arsenal have got a team there. Ray Parlour is the captain of the team. So if you're doing nothing, why not pop along? It's football, isn't it? If you're not going to Barnet and you don't have Arsenal TV, well, then what else should you be doing? So knock along to that. It's on the 19th, which is, of course, tomorrow. That's Saturday, the 19th. Of what month it is? July 2000. What year is it? 2008. Yeah. All right, then. Well, listen, that's about it for this week's Arsecast. We will have another Arsecast, of course, next Friday. So until then, take it easy. Have a very good weekend. Have a football-filled weekend, an Arsenal football-filled weekend. And I'll talk to you all next week on the blog. Take it easy. Bye-bye.
Hello, Alex, this is Emmanuel Adebayor. Just forget to say hello, of course. Wishing you all the best in Barcelona. Hope everything going okay for you there. Hope the removal going well. And of course, you know, if you want to say something to Joan Laporte or Guardiola or somebody that know me out there, if they want to sign me, then, you know, I'm very open to this thing. And possibly, you know, Alex, put in a good word for me, man. Come on, I'm after screwing myself here at Arsenal. I'm after saying a load of stuff that's going to make me look like a complete another chump. Oh my God. So you better say something to the guys. Come on, man. We're buddies. Me and you, Alex. Yeah, we can go drink at the Absinthe. Yeah. Please, say something. Oh. Please.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.